Welcome to the Contagious Hope Podcast, where we believe that things don't just happen by chance, but that God is working in every detail of life. We believe, like the Bible says, that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. So he's not done with you yet, and there is much hope to be had as we seek out the abundant life Jesus promised and daily move closer to our heavenly home. So with that said, let's jump right in to our next episode of Contagious Hope. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Contagious Hope Podcast. Today we're going to talk about hope with a capital H versus hope with a small h. So if you're a believer in Christ, and if you're not, I beg you to come to know him. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He is waiting with open arms for you. But if you're a believer, we have this hope that carries us. It's the current that carries us. This hope of heaven, this hope of redemption, this hope that Jesus has already defeated sin and death, and heaven is waiting for us. And we can't wait. I can't wait for heaven. And so we have this capital H hope that is this current that carries us. And along with that hope comes joy. And along with that hope comes peace. And you can't get that on this earth. This earth cannot deliver joy and peace. You go on Shark Tank, guess what? They can't deliver peace. You have all the money in the world, all the things, material things in the world. Those things cannot deliver joy. And you, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to continue to search for that and continue to not find it until you find him. And so there's this capital H hope that carries us even amidst life's crazy circumstances and hard circumstances. And then we're also going to talk about the small h hope today, because the small h hope is, I hope amidst these hard circumstances that God will pull us out of these circumstances. And the truth is, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. So in our family, we're battling cancer right now. And so we pray and we hope that he will pull us out of it. So stay tuned. We'll see what his answer is. Let's turn into Genesis 32. We're going to jump into Genesis 32 today and talk about how Jacob wrestled with God. To give you some context for Genesis 32, if you'll remember that Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was a deceiver. He deceived his father and he stole Esau's blessing. He also stole stole, but he also took Esau's birthright, because Esau gave it up to him over a bowl of stew. So you could go back and read that. But Jacob faked his father out, Isaac out, and made Isaac think that he was Esau. And so gave Jacob his blessing, the blessing of the firstborn, which is like the blessing, like a big deal back in those days. So Esau was ticked off, and not only ticked off, but breathing out murderous threats. So the last time Jacob saw his brother, he was breathing out murderous threats. Jacob went, he ran away because he didn't want to get murdered. And he ran away and he worked for Laban. Laban was a relative. He had daughters. Jacob worked for essentially 14 years because he was so in love with Rachel. And the Bible says that the time that he worked seemed like only a moment because he was so in love with Rachel. So he married Leah, Rachel's older sister, first, and then he also married Rachel. So Jacob and his wives and his children and his flocks and his herds are actually leaving Laban now to come back to his homeland. But what has happened is he is going to run into Esau on the way back, and he is fearful for not only his life, but the lives of all of his caravan, so to speak, his wives and his children. So we pick this up in Genesis 32. As Jacob's on his way home and about to meet with Esau, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. This is an extremely stressful situation for Jacob. Genesis 32. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named the place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I might find favor in your eyes." So Jacob wants to find favor in Esau's eyes. He's going to send a gift on ahead to try to pacify him. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him," which must sound ominous to Jacob. He's like, uh-oh, this is him and his posse coming to get me. Verse 7, "In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted." So Jacob's saying, "Lord, you've said this, and I believe it. But oh, Lord, I need your help." He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself. And he said to his servants, "Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds." He instructed the one in the lead, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks, who do you belong to and where are you going? And who owns all these animals in front of you? Then you are to say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us." He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who follow the herds, "You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me." So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. That night Jacob got up, it took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. Verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. How random, or not so random. So Jacob was left alone in distress, believing and leaning into the promises of God. And a man shows up out of nowhere and wrestles with him until daybreak. Jacob is wrestling with the angel of the Lord. Jacob is wrestling with God, essentially. And so are you. And so am I. Verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." Make no mistake, when God renames you, it's because he has great and lasting kingdom legacy and purpose for you, even amidst your limp. Hold on to that thought. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel." The sun rose above him after the wrestling with God. And he was limping because of his hip. He was still limping. Although the sun rose, he was still limping. Hold on to that thought. "Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." So the Perkins family, our family's in a wrestling match with cancer. I've told you about my wife's cancer. We're deep in the middle of a battle or a war with cancer, and it's not just the cancer, it's the collateral damage that cancer does. It's not just the cancer, but it's the chemo, and it's not just the chemo, but it's the side effects of the chemo. I could go on a long diatribe about the challenges and really hard things that we face for 11 years now. Praise Jesus that she's still with us, and Lord willing, we'll be with us 11 more years. But here's the thing, y'all. We have done everything we feel like and believed. We do believe everything the Bible has told us to do and to believe. I mean, we have prayed the incessant and persistent prayer of the widow, right? The persistent widow that Jesus said, "I want you to continue to pray boldly and unashamedly to God and ask him for what you want. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. When two or more are gathered in my name, I am right there with them. Ask, and as long as your motives are in line with God, he will grant you what your heart's desire is." So our heart's desire is healing on earth for Denise. I mean, we kneel in the garden like Jesus did and said, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." But you tell us, God, that we can ask for what we want. And we desperately, I pray it as I say it, we desperately desire for you to heal Denise on this earth. I mean, we've done everything the Bible says we're supposed to do. We've begged to just touch the hem of his garment, and we are on the ground now, humbled with scratches on our cheeks because we've been there for a while, reaching out in desperation just to touch the hem of his garment. Jesus, Lord Jesus, please. I mean, we've been anointed with oil for healing by the elders more than once. Lord, we are trying to do everything that you say that we're supposed to do. We're trying to be faithful. Some days better than others. Some days more faithful and full of faith more than other days when we're so very weak at the knees, Father. And frankly, we're limping. Yeah. If you know us and you know us now, you've seen us limp. You've seen us limp some. I don't need to go on and about that. But there is heaviness to our story, just like there's heaviness to your story. But take heart, because this hope, that this current that carries us, that if you saw me at the grocery store, I would have a smile on my face. Or if you saw me most nights, not every night, but most night in the middle of the night, I would be snoozing because I'm resting in the peace of the truth of Christ. which the devil can't take away because it's already a done deal. The work of Jesus is already the finished work at the cross. He has defeated sin and death, and heaven is waiting for me and my family. But there is this wrestling match with the small h hope. We hope he will deliver us from this thing that we're going through. And you are too. So what are you wrestling with? Envy? That a coworker got the promotion that you so wanted? Is your heart hurting that your roommate got asked out by the guy that you've had the long time crush on? Are you facing frustration by the fact that you keep failing the test? There's this test that you need to pass and you keep failing. Are you in despair about the addiction that you keep falling back into despite your great efforts at Celebrate Recovery or AA, Alcoholics Anonymous? Are you in despair because that addiction just keeps coming up and you keep falling? You can't get away from the sin that so dogs you. What are you wrestling with? Can you not seem to find a job? Can you not seem to make ends meet? Are you grieving over a lost relationship? What are you wrestling with? Listen, what is causing your limp? We're all limping. And if you don't think you're limping, keep living and you will. Because this thorny world, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, corrosion and rust and decay and disappointment and disheartening and disease immediately came on the earth. It makes us long for heaven when we wrestle on earth, and that's a healthy thing. So what are you wrestling with? Be honest. I'm going to give you a moment to just think about that in this silence. So you're in good company. Because Paul, who wrote most of the books of the New Testament, Paul, the Apostle Paul, like Saul, the guy who persecuted Christians, and then the gospel of Jesus Christ got a hold of him and completely caterpillar to butterfly, metamorphosized and changed his life. There was a metamorphosis, and Jesus wants to do that with you, especially if you're an unbeliever. As a believer, what are you wrestling with? How are you wrestling with God and the will of God? How are you limping amidst the wrestling? Well, the good news is you're in good company because Paul did too. This is 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. This is Paul talking. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, this beautiful line, y'all, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's in quotes because this is Jesus talking to you, not just to Paul. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He is speaking our language. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Jesus looks at you today and says, my grace is sufficient for you. I have more grace than you have sin. You can't outrun me. You can't outsin me. I love you and will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. His mercies are new every morning, a new day, a new chance for new grace and new hope. That is hope. That is capital H hope that carries you amidst the small H hope. I hope he pulls me out of this, but maybe he doesn't, because Paul pleaded three times and God said, I'm going to leave you with this messenger from Satan, Paul says, that tormented him, which means if you're in the middle of falling again to the addiction, Jesus looks at you with love. And he says to you today, my grace is sufficient for you. My blood covers you. Don't argue with me. Don't fuss and fight about it. We wrestle with God. And sometimes, y'all, listen, we walk away and we still limp. Christians hear that, because I feel like a lot of times a mistake that we make is we make unbelievers think if you come to Christ, life is going to be rosy. And I'm telling you as a believer that our road, the Perkins Road, is hard, even with faith, as we limp through life, but await the hope that is truly hope, our home in heaven. And it's coming. And no one, Satan, no one can take that away. We're in the hand of Christ, and we are safe, and we are saved, and we're at peace. And that is the current that will carry us into eternity. And you have that same hope. Jesus is here in the midst of it all. He is looking you in the eyes right now and saying with open arms, I'm inviting you to me. You don't have to, we don't clean up before we get in the shower. You don't have to clean up before you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus because he's going to wash you clean. It doesn't mean that you're not going to sometimes limp through the hardships of life. This world is not our home. We don't need to be comfortable here. So you and your limp, you come to Jesus. He's going to clean you and forgive you and save you. Sometimes he'll heal your limp, and we're praying about that for Denise, and sometimes he doesn't. Jesus is there in the midst of it all. Hope is there. Hope is here. That's the savior and friend we have in Jesus. Would you come and know him today? Oh, Father, we kneel as Jesus did in the garden and continue to persistently pray, stubbornly set our jaw and trust you and believe that you are good, your plan is good, we're redeemed in heaven's way. We know it. We know it. We don't have to take a chance on believing that. It's just true. We know it. So as we, the Perkins family, pray for our hope that you would pull us out of this to be rewarded. And whether or not you relieve the limp or not is up to you. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Lord, let these sweet souls that are listening to this right now hear you and see you looking into their eyes saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and limping, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and gentle and humble and hard, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, that is capital H hope. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. It's in the sweet name of Jesus, our hope, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ be on all God's people. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Contagious Hope. Be sure to follow our Instagram page at contagious.hope.podcast. And feel free to DM any questions you have concerning any topics discussed. Signing off for Contagious Hope, where Jesus gives us all the hope we'll ever need.